I don't know how many of you knew this or not, but the late Robin Williams was actually an Episcopalian. And he shared in a comedy special the top 10 reasons for being an Episcopalian. You're going to hear it right now. Number 10, no snake handling. Although I put that at number 1 actually myself. Number 9, you can believe in dinosaurs. Number 8, male and female, he created them. Male and female, we ordain them. Number 7, you don't have to check your brains at the door. Number 6, pew aerobics. Up, down, kneel, set. Up, down, kneel, set. Number 5, the church year is color-coded. Number 4, one of my favorite ones, free wine on Sunday. Number 3, we have all of the pageantry and none of the guilt. Number 2, you don't have to know how to swim to be baptized. And finally, the number 1 reason for being an Episcopalian, no matter what you believe, there's bound to be another Episcopalian who will agree with you. So true, isn't it? So true. You know, Robin Williams helped us to laugh, didn't he? Just a tremendous gift of laughter and humor to his bones. And so when he took his life, it was a great loss for all of us on a lot of different levels. And I know all of us have a lot of grateful memories of him, whether it was Mork and Mindy or comedy specials or going to entertain our troops overseas in the battle zones that we're at across the world. But you know, also one of the things that Robin brings home to us, and that what I want to reflect with you on here today, is that depression is real. In fact, again, I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but Robin Williams had a lifelong battle with depression. He struggled with it all of his life. And actually, that was one of the reasons, I think, for his comedic genius, if you will. The ability to laugh, the ability to even laugh at himself and laugh with others, was one of the things that kept him going in life. Some of the symptoms of depression are very real and very clear, and yet if we aren't aware of them and recognize them and kind of put them together, we can often miss it in ourselves and in other people. Some of the symptoms of depression include hopelessness. You just have no sense of hope in life. Another symptom of depression is a deep and abiding guilt that just won't go away. People that are depressed tend to have no energy in their life. As much as they want to get up and go, there is no get up and go inside of them. They also have an indecisiveness about their life. It's hard for them to make decisions. They usually suffer from insomnia, or they sleep all the time. Usually those two things. Their life seems to them and seems to others to be in slow motion. It's like life is slowed down for them. And again, as much as they want to get it going and make it happening, things just don't seem to work that way for them. They tend to have numerous thoughts of death and suicide, and there is no pleasure in life for them. In fact, I don't know about you, but even as I begin to share about depression, I'm beginning to get depressed. It is just a depressing subject, isn't it? It's, again, one of those sermons that I struggle to bring to you today, but I find incredibly timing, not only in the death of Robin Williams, but in what many people are going through around me and in their lives. Actually, the Association for Anxiety and Depression, there actually is one, has found that this particular anxiety disorder of depression affects some 40 million people in the United States. That's 18% of the population. That's quite a bit. It's highly treatable, but only a third of the people that have it actually seek treatment at a cost of $25 billion a year. Or I should say $42 billion a year. It arises from a complex set of risk factors. People that suffer from depression, sometimes it runs in the family. It's genetic. There can be issues with brain chemistry, and it also might be related to lifestyle. It could be because of any one of those things or a variety of those things together. So it could be fairly complex. Researchers have found that the rates for depression have increased not only in the United States, but throughout the world as well. In fact, they have classified it as an epidemic. That's how fast it's growing, how bad it is. Dr. Lieberman, who's an expert in depression, explains that depression at its very heart is anger that is turned inward toward the self. Whatever the root of the anger is, wherever the anger is coming from, depression is caused by that anger being turned in toward the self, in very real, very much so, a self-hatred, an anger that just won't go away in a very powerful and real way. This anger is self-destructive, and it is harmful to the body. So you see that, oh, is that the new baby, Lindsay? Is that Dorothy? Hey, Dorothy. I shout back out at you, all right? Good to hear you. But this anger is self-destructive and harmful to the body, see? So again, you know, it's amazing how powerful our thoughts are, aren't they? It says in the scripture, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the good and perfect and acceptable will of God is. So easy for me to say that to you here today. So easy for you and I to read it. But how hard at times it is to begin to live that out. And it just goes to show again how powerful our thoughts are. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, 40% of those who suffer from PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, 75% of those who have eating disorders, 50% of those who have Parkinson's, 25% of those who have cancer, and 66% of those who end up committing suicide have struggled with depression. So the reality of depression is very real. And let's just be honest, many of us avoid it. We want to avoid people that are depressed because they're depressing, right? I mean, you know, you and I might even, if we're honest, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands right now, but if we're honest, we would even say, you know what, Father Joe, if I'm honest with myself, given the symptoms that you're sharing right now, I've had a few of those at times in my life, or I'm having them right now, and I am depressed, or I know what that's like, and I have a hard time even living with myself. But you know, one of the things you and I need to begin to do is to be honest about depression and to face it and to be real about it and not to be afraid of it. And I just want to say to you here today that if you're depressed, doesn't mean you're a bad person, doesn't mean that you're a loser, doesn't mean that you're never, ever going to be happy again. It's just that this is something you're facing and you're dealing with, and you don't have to face it or deal with it alone. So what do you do with depression? Well, again, I think it's important for us to say that depression happens. And it happens a lot more frequently than you and I are aware of it. And one of the reasons why I'm sharing this message with you and I here today is that we might begin to name it. That we might begin to be able to notice the symptoms that are going on. Jan and I were just having a conversation a couple of days ago about a person in particular. And we were talking about some of the things that were going on in their life, some of the symptoms. We weren't characterizing it that way. And after we had talked a little bit, it automatically popped into Jan's mind, that person is depressed. And so, you know what? It's being able to just be objective about what's going on, to observe it. Jan's clinical mind as a nurse practitioner can kind of take a step back and look at people and be able to say, this is what's going on with you. And that's what you and I need to be able to do in other people's lives. Not just go up to them and say, hey, by the way, I think you're really depressed. I'm not going to hang with you anymore. I wish you all the best, but I'm not going to be with you. Don't do it that way. But I'm just saying we need to be honest about what's going on in ourselves and in other people. Depression happens. It happens in our lives. It happens in the lives of our family. It happens in people's lives that we work with and our neighbors. And it's important to be honest about that. We need to talk about it like I am today. Look at the symptoms of depression. Again, hopelessness, a guilt that won't go away, no energy, indecisiveness, insomnia or sleeping all the time, slowed down, thoughts of death or suicide, and no pleasure in life. If you have a cluster of those symptoms, you are probably depressed. And so just begin to be honest about that. Begin to face it and begin to work through it together with someone else. That's the other thing I want to say about this is as you begin to maybe be honest about a time of depression that you're going through or somebody else that you love is going through, you need to begin to ask the question, what are the next steps? What do I need to do? So, Father Joe, you helped me to realize that I'm depressed or somebody in my family is depressed. What's the next step? Well, I would submit to you that you might want to be professionally assessed. Go see a doctor. Go see your family practitioner. Go see a counselor. Another set of eyes to sit down with you who's a professional and can kind of go down through the checklist with you and maybe even ask you some questions and bring out a little bit more about your behavior and how you're feeling and what's going on so that they might begin to work with you on bringing about healing in your spirit. You know, again, the reason for your depression or the depression of people around you can be various. It can be hormonal. It can be lifestyle. You know, I know people who are depressed who say to me, you know what, Father Joe, one of the things I do for my depression is I drink. It kind of helps me to forget about it. But guess what else your drinking is doing? It's making you more depressed. Because you know what alcohol is? It's a depressant. Did I just turn a light bulb on for some people right now? I think I did. So if you have been drinking in order to deal with your depression and forget about it, I just want to let you know here today that by drinking, you have made your depression worse because it is a depressant. Drinking is one of the last things you want to do if you're depressed. So again, these are some of the things that can come out for you and me that can begin to move you in the direction of healing. Again, come and talk to your priest or a counselor or somebody who you can share this with who can begin to work with you. Again, depression can be hormonal. It could be genetic. It can be lifestyle. It can be sin. It could be any one of those things or all of those things together. One of the things I don't want you and I to do with depression in relationship to ourselves or anybody else is to just dismiss it. How many times have you shared with somebody, or maybe somebody has shared with you, you know what, I'm really down. I'm in a pit right now, and I don't know if I'm going to get out. And in some way, shape, or form, the person that you shared that with or who has shared it with you, you say to them in so many words, you know what, it's going to be okay. You'll eventually get over it. That is the last thing you want to tell somebody who's going through that. Because what you've basically said to them is you don't care about them. Now, you may not have meant it that way, and I'm just going to say you probably didn't mean it that way, but that's what's heard. Probably the most important thing that you and I can do with somebody who's struggling with depression is just listen to them. Listen to what they're going through. Hear what they have to say, and just keep our mouths shut. You don't have to say anything. But Father Joe, they just go on and on and on and on. Well, let them go on and on and on and on a little bit. Probably nobody's been listening to them because they're so depressing. Nobody's hanging out with them. And you're the first person who's listening to them. Hello. But that's healing. It's healing just to be heard. And after you've listened to them, maybe you can have an opportunity to pray with them or say, you know what, you might want to make these steps. You might want to listen to this sermon by Father Joe and consider some options for your life right now. So we need people involved in our lives who can begin to bring us to healing. You know, maybe you might just get over it. Maybe they might just get over it, but maybe they won't. And you don't want to have to live with the reality of maybe having been one of the last persons to be with them and to hear their cry of help and not to have done anything for them. Don't want to be in that place. Be there for them. The good news for all of us, I think, is that people in the Bible have actually struggled with depression. This book is full of people who have been down in the dumps, who have been in the valley, who have been in the hole, literally, and didn't see any way out of it. I mean, who wanted their lives to end. And they knew who God was. Knew what it was to sing songs of praise to God. Knew what it was to be in a company of people who believed. And yet in their hearts, they were depressed and they were struggling with God. I don't know about you, but boy, that sure helps me feel better to know that I'm not alone in that sometimes. Some of the people that struggle with depression were Jonah. Hey, I'd have been depressed if I was in the belly of a whale too. I'd have been upset about that. I would have some issues with that. It'd have been a dark day for me. Job and his quote-unquote friends and all the advice they gave him when he was down. King Saul and King David. Esther. I mean, I could go on and on through the rest of the day just reading names out of this book of people that have been depressed and down and struggled. But some of them decided to press into God in the midst of that. Actually, in your bulletin today, if you would turn with me to the Psalm 42, there just happens to be a psalm in here today that talks about this. And I want to share, I want to reflect with you on some of these scriptures. What happened in Psalm 42 was that the psalmist was going through some rough times. Doesn't say what it was, but he was depressed. He was distressed. Verse 6, "Why are you so full of heaviness, O my soul? And why are you so disquieted within me?" Translation, I'm in the dumps. I'm depressed. I'm despairing. I'm struggling. I'm in a hole. Why is this going on with me? What's happening? Verse 7, "Put your trust in God, for I will yet give thanks to him." You see, even in the midst of the darkness that the psalmist is going through right now, there's this other voice that's speaking out in the depth of his soul. Have hope. Have trust. Have trust in God because you will ultimately praise him at the end of the day. He goes on, "My soul," it's not done yet, goes back to it, verse 8, "My soul is heavy within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan." Goes on to verse 9, "One deep calls to another in the noise of your cataracts. All your rapids and floods have gone over me. The Lord grants his loving kindness in the daytime. In the night season, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." And so as you read these few verses of Psalm 42, what we experience is this going back and forth between a soul that is depressed, that is heavy-hearted, that is struggling. And the soul knows this. It's owning this darkness in its life right now, this struggle. And it's saying, why am I so depressed? Why am I so distressed? Why am I struggling? But I need to hope in God. I need to trust in him because ultimately everything's going to be okay. And then he goes back to heaviness and struggle. Whew, I've been there, done that. Kind of describes my life on some days. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But you see what the psalmist affirms for us here today is that God was with him, even in the hole. That God was with him because he invited God to be with him in that dark place and in that place of struggle. The Lord grants his loving kindness in the daytime when things are good and going great. In the night season, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I want you to know something. When you're in that dark hole, and if you're not there right now, you will be at some point. Or when somebody that you love and care for is in that dark place of depression and struggle, and maybe they don't want to live anymore, and you're trying to come up with reasons with them to keep on going. You know what God is doing? He's right there with you. He's pulling for you. He's actually singing songs over you. Songs of deliverance, songs of healing, songs of hope. That's why the psalmist writes, in the night season, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And so as the psalmist pressed into this, as David pressed into this, you remember his relationship with Bathsheba, don't you? He slept with her. She became pregnant. He had her husband, Uriah, killed. And as he was all caught up in what he was doing and actually enjoying his relationship with Bathsheba, God sent his prophet Nathan and told him a little story about a man that stole a sheep from a man that was all that he had. And at the end of the story, Nathan said to him, "You are the man." And David was cut to the heart, went into a deep, dark depression. And David fasted. He prayed. He confessed his sin to God. He poured out his heart to him in that dark pit in which he found himself. His child ended up dying. Sad, sad ending to that life. And yet, at the end of the day, God forgave David and delivered him and was with him. What does hope look like in God during the depression and darkness of your life? What does it look like? In closing, I want to share with you a true story of what it looked like for one man. There was a man who was driving to the San Francisco Bridge, and he was driving there to jump off of it and commit suicide. He had just had enough of life. He had tried so many times, and he just didn't feel like it was worth living anymore. So that's why he was driving there. He'd had enough. And as he tells the story, as he was driving to the San Francisco Bridge, he heard God speak to him as clearly as he had at any other time in his life. And what God spoke to him as he was driving to the bridge was simply this: "If you are willing to take your life, are you willing to give it to me?" If you're willing to take your life, are you willing to give it to me? That's what hope is. God spoke to that man before he got to the bridge that day, because God wanted that man to live. That man did not jump off the bridge that day, thank God. He came to God, he worked through his depression, and now his hope is in the Lord God Almighty. Beloved of God, I share a word of encouragement to you today. It's not candy-coated. It's not something that's just going to happen like this. But I want you to know something about your own life and the lives of the people around you. God wants you to live. God loves life. God loves your life because he created life and created you. And he said it was good. And it's still good. And no matter how dark it gets, no matter how deep the depression, may you and I in this moment have the grace to look up, and have a hope in God and to trust him that he will bring us safely to the other side.